Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hey, Julia here. If you'd like to grow your agency with a new free traffic source, we've put together a free resource for you called the Agency Traffic Blueprint, which outlines how you can acquire free organic traffic for your agency's website using Powered by Marketing. You can get that at getrubyrobin.com/blueprint or check the description of this episode for the link.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I am your host, Julia McLaughlin. My guest today is Candy Phelps, who is the founder of Busy Busy, which is a Wisconsin-based creative agency. And Candy is the creator of One Day Websites, and she is an entrepreneur to the core and loves helping other entrepreneurs achieve their dreams. Today, we're going to be discussing Candy's journey of building her agency and what she's learned along the way. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks so much, Julia. I'm really excited to be here.
Awesome. Yes, very excited to have you here with us. So to get started, let's dive into a couple questions so our listeners can get to know you a little bit.
Sounds good.
So what really motivates you as an entrepreneur?
Like you said in the introduction, I feel like an entrepreneur is like who I am as my whole person. So it's very easy for me to get motivated to work. I love working. I love being in control of my own destiny. I am one of those unemployable people who will never be able to work for somebody else because I just love being able to solve problems and design business solutions that work for my clients and then also for myself and our team. So for me, it's like the motivation is just intrinsic. Like it comes naturally. I love working. I have a hard time stopping working and I just love all of it. I feel very fortunate to get to work in a job that I love.
That's awesome. And then, so how did you get into the industry? How did you originally get into digital marketing?
Well, I feel like my story is very familiar. I started freelancing in 2009, and really I was just in a horrible job that I hated. Mm-hmm. I was working at a publishing company, as the managing editor. It was for trade magazines. And at the time I was just miserable at my job. And there were no jobs because in the US there was a recession happening. So I had been looking for new jobs and there just was nothing out there. And so eventually I just got so sick of my job, I decided to quit and start my own business. And at the time, I mean, I didn't know anyone who was freelancing. This was like a whole new world for me. So I actually thought I was starting a desktop publishing company because this is like, it was so long ago and the internet was so baby-like that I didn't have access to like the language or even really knowing about things like WordPress or different online tools that were available. So I went to our library, like a very outdated library, and just started looking at, you know, by ISBN number of like different things about starting your own business. And so I thought I was like going to be printing things for people and designing things. And so it was a very old school way to get started. I mean, really I was just freelancing. Mm-hmm. Didn't even have ever heard the term digital marketing before. I definitely was reading marketing books, you know, books about that kind of thing. But everything of the input originally was very old school and super outdated. And I think in some ways that slowed my growth a lot, because if I had if I knew then what I know now, there's so many online courses and things that could have really sped up the growth of my business. But yes. Unfortunately, I was just learning everything the hard way, reading super old books like, you know, WordPress for Dummies and things like that.
Yep.
And just really just testing things out and learning the hard way on my own in my little silo in my kitchen table.
Yeah. Yeah. You've got to respect that though, because you got to start somewhere. And that's really cool. So basically you started your freelance business because there was not really a lot of jobs out there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you just grew it from there. So yeah, tell us about Busy Busy. And so when did you make the transition to actually start the agency?
Well, it's a very gray line where I went from freelancing to agency, because it was pretty soon. I probably only freelanced solo for a year or so. Mm-hmm. And people started asking for web design. I started more just graphic design, kind of print marketing type stuff. And then it was very clear early on that people needed websites. So then I started teaching myself HTML and CSS, and it got pretty busy pretty quickly, partly because I was way undercharging. I just had no idea what people were charging. So I got customers very easily right away. Mm-hmm. And so then I started looking to other subcontractors and trying to find help pretty quickly. So it was probably only a year of true freelancing. And then I ended up hiring my sister, who also was like totally in a different industry. She was an industrial engineer working for UPS. Also miserable at her job. And so I was like, okay, I think you're smart enough where I could teach you how to build websites. So that was really my first hire, was my sister. And that was, I mean, it was like at least 10 years ago when she started working for me.
Okay.
And then, you know, we kind of dabbled in hiring more contractors, had some employees. And then it's really only been the last couple years that we've been fully growing as an agency with like real employees, you know, real benefits and that type of thing.
Yeah. Okay. Very cool. So what were some of those challenges that you had to overcome, you know, while you were making that transition from freelancer to becoming an agency?
Well, I think the number one challenge was that I didn't write anything down when I started. So I didn't have any good processes or systems in place. And I just kept it all in my head, and I'm very good at remembering things, and I'm super organized. So it became very clear, even when my sister started, there was like no documentation for anything. Mm-hmm. So she was also very good at remembering things, and I could kind of show her something once and she would just remember it. So it actually was a little bit of a problem how good she was right away, because I didn't understand how much more difficult it is typically to train employees or to teach people how you do things or why you do things.
Yeah.
So we ran pretty well, just the two of us, for a while. But the problem was, every time we were so busy that we needed extra help, I didn't really have the time to start documenting things or really like fully train people, mm-hmm. because we were hiring people because we were overwhelmed with work. So that was always a big problem. And again, it wasn't until I kind of invested like a full year where I just made way less money and spent a ton of time just writing everything down. I wrote a book actually as part of like, oh, well, I'm writing all this down, I might as well make a book out of it.
Yeah.
So it was like a tough year financially, because I really decided to scale back on the client work and just get it all in place. But mm-hmm. now it's awesome, because I have like 150 YouTube videos and, you know, a book's worth of written documentation on how we do things, our best practices, especially around our one-day website process. So mm-hmm. that's been way easier to onboard people now. We just got an intern this summer, and I basically didn't have to train her at all, because I was just like, here's 50 videos you should watch.
Yeah.
She kind of self-learned alongside of this training that we had. And she's just up and running super quickly. So that's been amazing, but it was definitely a lot of work and a financial investment to be able to build all that documentation.
Yeah. It's so interesting. It's a good learning lesson, you know, so it's really would pay. It'd be beneficial to just do it as you go along. And then, you know, you don't have to take that year where it's a little bit of a financial hit, just do the work as you go.
Exactly. It's like freelancers don't understand that, because they're like, well, I don't want to take a bunch of time to write that down, mm-hmm. When you actually have the time to do it. But man, if I had been keeping notes the whole time of like, where did I learn that thing that I learned? And, you know, what are the top key takeaways from that book I read? It would have been so much easier. So I always tell people, even if you're not sure if you're going to grow, just write it all down and like bus proof your business, so that if you get hit by a bus, someone else could like take it over and, you know, keep working on it.
Yeah, that's a really good way of putting it. So how do you guys stand apart from other agencies in, you know, what has become a pretty saturated market?
Yeah, for us, about 6 years ago, we created this concept of the one-day website. And really, it was born from a bunch of problems we were having with the business, which was basically we had all of these website projects that were just taking forever, like even basic WordPress websites were taking 6 months, 9 months, because all of the customers we were working with were just super busy and didn't have time to like get back to us about things. And so to solve this problem, we decided to try working in real time with our clients. So we started bringing them in person, and we'd have our whole team, like a developer, a writer, a designer, and a creative director, and we'd just build their website in one day. And it took some experimenting to get it right. But after we started doing that, it was like, oh my God, we're never going back to the old way of doing things where we email back and forth with people for 5 months. Yep. The clients loved it. It was just way more effective. The outcomes were just as good as they ever were, if not better, because the customers had input the whole time and it was like a super interactive experience. So we started doing that in person in 2016. And then since COVID, we've been pretty much fully online with that process, which has gone pretty well. But that's really how we differentiate ourselves. We basically only do real-time collaboration with customers, and we don't do the thing where we email back and forth. So even if we're having like a really big project, we just schedule enough one-day sprints to get the job done with our team and with the client. And we can spread those out over weeks or months or however long it needs to be for their schedule. But for us, it's just so much more impactful and efficient than doing it the old way.
Okay. So you bring in your client to actually, when you guys are doing the work in real time.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. We have them go through branding exercises. Like we have a bunch of fun interactive tools like core values app, a brand archetype quiz. If we're doing the website for them, we like to write the copy for them, so it's much easier for them. So we'll interview them. And then when we're writing, we're really doing it with them. You know, we're like, how does this sound? Here's a few ideas for a tagline, or here's a few ideas for the unique value proposition. And I think they really like it because they have an easy time talking about their business, but a hard time writing about it. And then when you combine like their expertise about their business and their industry with a writer who has expertise about marketing and search engine optimization, you get a really powerful combination of really well-written copy that doesn't happen as much as when you're just like, you interview them and then you write a bunch of stuff and then they maybe review, you know, they might review it or revise it, but they don't have those conversations about why you made the choices you did or, you know, those type of things. So it's really effective. And we find that it just, we can hurdle a lot of those stopping points that used to happen during the process where there'd be just be dead time because clients were unable to do certain parts of the work.
Yeah. Yeah. It just eliminates that whole back and forth via email issue. And like you said, eliminates those, that dead time. Interesting.
Sure.
That's so interesting. So I'd love to just talk a little bit about what has been the biggest overall challenge that you've had to overcome as you've been growing your agency. I know you mentioned that when you were transitioning that, you know, putting those processes in place, has there been any other, you know, big challenges that you've had to overcome?
Well, for sure, financial challenges I think are ever present. I think there's a huge financial step from going from a freelancer to an agency and having employees. And for me, I sort of waded into that with like getting subcontractors first. So you kind of, you don't have that commitment of payroll or those type of things. But
yeah,
you know, I didn't ever have, I was just bootstrapping the whole time. And I always was thinking, how would I ever have a full-time employee? Like I would have to make an extra $60,000 a year to be able to pay for that person. Like that really stopped me from growing sooner than I would have, just because of the fear of like, what if you can't pay that person? Or what if you're not busy enough to keep that person busy? So I actually, during COVID, people were just throwing out loans like candy. So I decided to get a business loan from the SBA for the first time. So I bootstrapped up until a couple of years ago. And that really allowed me to feel a little more comfortable hiring people because I was just so nervous about, you know, I'm very good at taking care of myself. I'm very good at budgeting. So if I need to, you know, take a lean month or something, it's no big deal. But having the business loan helped me feel more confident. And then we hired, like we went from one employee to eight in a couple years just because it was,
wow,
because we had that padding of like, okay, even if we don't make a lot of money this month, we can always dip into the bank loan.
Yeah.
So, I think there's kind of like a myth with entrepreneurship that you can just grow a business out of nothing. Like, I think there's a lot of people who just already have wealth that are growing these businesses, and they have, or maybe people are getting bank loans, but it's really hard to go from one person to two, you know, and that's, mm-hmm. I think from two to three is easier, from three to four is even easier, but that very first hire is really difficult financially. So I think it's just nice to be able to talk about that with people and be like,
yeah,
how did you grow your business? Like, how did you afford to hire employees? And for us, we have a lot of part-time people. So that also kind of eased our way into having to do benefits, but we're starting to have to do, you know, paid vacation and paid healthcare and things like that. So yeah, again, it's like, whoa, that's a lot of money. And we're gonna have to raise our rates in order to accommodate some of those things. Mm-hmm. I just feel like the financial parts of running an agency are not often talked about. Like,
yeah,
people talk about pricing all the time, but nobody ever talks about like overhead or payroll or, you know, those things and how much it actually costs to grow a business, or advertising. How do you fill the pipeline when you have three more people to keep busy?
Yeah. Yeah. And you mentioned a good point, you know, if you have to put your rates up when you're hiring for whatever reason, how do you handle that with your clients?
Well, a lot of times we've done the old, if they're an old client, we'll leave their pricing as it is. But then for any new clients, we'll raise the rates. Mm-hmm. That's happened a lot over the years where, you know, if it's a big jump that we're making, which we've done a lot of big jumps, because I was charging $20 an hour when I first started, and that was like not a sustainable living.
Yeah.
So, you know, we keep kind of raising by a lot, but we usually end up just sort of, you know, grandfathering in the people with legacy pricing and then trying to get bigger, better clients the next round. That can cause accounting problems though. I mean, from a standpoint of like keeping track of what rates are for who, that's a little tricky, but that's been one thing. I can say that the times we have raised rates that were for everyone, we didn't see a lot of people leave just because they were already loyal to us and we'd done such good service over the years. It's a little harder pill to swallow for somebody who doesn't know you. So there's sort of both sides of the coin there where, like, you know, if you've proven yourself, people are willing to pay more. If you're a total stranger, you know, they may be more price shopping.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a really good point. I think once you've built that trust with them, they know what type of work to expect. Yeah, exactly. They're more likely to be understanding that prices are going to go up from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So I'd love to pivot a little bit and talk about sales. So what are some ways that you bring in leads into your agency? And then how do you close those prospects?
Most of our work comes from organic search engine optimization. So we have been content marketing since day one, not on purpose because I was an SEO expert, but just I really love writing, and I found that writing down frequently asked questions to clients like saved me some time. And so very early on, we had good Google ranking just because of the amount of prolific writing I had been doing on our website. And then I sort of stumbled into the fact that that's actually like a strategy, and you can do a whole bunch of SEO keyword research to make that better.
Yeah.
So the majority of the customers we've just been getting from people cold Googling us, and most of them have been local, although there's probably 20% of people who have found us from other places. Mm-hmm. And then the other big way is just networking at local events. That's been another big way to get customers. I find that networking is like the long game. You do networking, you go meeting people, you stay in touch, you take them for coffee, and like you won't get work from them, you know, maybe for a year or 2 years. Like it's very rare that we would go out to a business chamber of commerce event and come back with somebody's card who turns into a website client in the next month. That almost never happens, but it's that constant presence, the giving back to the organizations you're in, the, you know, just doing public speaking as much as you can. Those things have really benefited us in the long run, but it's hard to make time for those when you're super busy and you're like not seeing those immediate returns on the networking.
Yes.
It's easy to skip events. And I did that for years where it was like causing a feast and famine situation where we get really busy. So I'd stop networking and then we would get slow. So I'd go out and hit the streets. And I think it's definitely best if you can just kind of commit to certain events or groups or whatever on a regular basis and just constantly go mm-hmm. instead of that, like hitting and missing, which I was doing, because you never get the work right away. So it doesn't really help to just go out and go to 10 different events and then hope that you're going to get a sale right away.
You're putting in the work for your future business.
Exactly. So yeah. In terms of closing the sales, I mean, we basically do, you know, most people come in through our website, they'll fill out a basic form about what they need. We'll send a follow-up email. We do typically have a brochure with general pricing in it. We've gone back and forth about putting pricing on our website to qualify people. And then, you know, not telling pricing until the sales call. But I personally just like being transparent because I don't want to waste people's time. Mm-hmm. And we're at the point in our pricing where we're definitely out of a lot of people's budgets. So I don't want to like tease them and, you know, have them think, oh, I can't wait to get my one day website, and then be like, tricked you. The price is 10 times is what you thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
Especially because we're selling one day websites. A lot of people think it should be cheap because it sounds fast. And people think fast food websites, that must be cheap. It's not cheap. And it's like still the amount of same work that we were doing before. So typically our brochure will just give like a range of prices mm-hmm. and then we'll follow up to get a sales call after that. If somebody makes it through that point, like they know generally what the pricing is and they're interested in the way that we work, then it's typically a pretty easy sales call. It's just a matter of putting a proposal out that's for that specific project. But because we have such a unique way of working, sometimes, you know, people are already sold on it at that point. Like they really yeah. want to work with us, not a bunch of other people, or they're not price shopping at that point. Mm-hmm. But we definitely can't work with everyone. And, you know, our style of working is not for everyone too. So we just kind of try to pre-qualify people as much as we can with as much information up front. And then the actual closing is usually not like, we don't have any kind of hard sales stuff going on. It's just like, this is either for you or it's not.
Right. Okay. Interesting. And then, so do you guys serve a specific niche or industry, or are you pretty broad in the industries that you serve?
It's pretty all over the place. We really like working with startups. So it's good for us if we have people who are starting brand new businesses who want to get up and running quickly. That's mm-hmm. kind of our bread and butter, because if you think about somebody starting a business and then they hire a traditional agency and it takes them like 9 months to get online because there's so much, you know, first we do the mock-up and that's going to take 3 to 4 weeks. And then, you know, you review it and that takes 3 to 4 weeks. By that time, somebody is missing out on a huge amount of work that they could be getting by having an online presence, having a brand out there in the universe. So we think we work really well with startups for that reason. And then we definitely work with a lot of just service providers, like accountants, life coaches, therapists. There's a lot of those type of businesses that we do sites for. And we do a fair amount of e-commerce too, but not as much as we find the B2B kind of service providers.
Okay. Interesting. So what are your tips for creating really happy clients?
My number one tip is just responding to their emails quickly. Like, you'd be amazed how much feedback I've gotten over the years about how happy people are just that I'm getting back to them quickly. Mm-hmm. And on the reverse side, we hear a lot of like the top horror stories we hear from clients who were unhappy with their last service provider is always having to do with they either drop off the face of the planet or they were slow to respond.
Mm. So how quick do you respond?
I pretty much am like within a 24 hours of when you email me, I will email you back.
Yeah.
In the early days, I actually kind of killed myself trying to get back to people within a couple hours. And that set a precedent that I couldn't keep up with over the years.
Yeah.
So you kind of have to balance that. But it, you know, I have other colleagues who are either really slow to respond or really fast to respond. And when I refer people to them, you know, I hear that feedback directly, like, oh, it was so nice, Josh got back to me right away, or I never really heard from them, so I went with somebody else, kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. So it's such an easy thing to do. It's like, you basically can make up for a lot of actual good craftsmanship or good project management if you just respond quickly.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and if somebody's upset with something, again, if you like take a week to get back them, they're only going to be more upset. So just responding right away, I think, is an easy way to keep people happy. And then in terms of other things, you know, we don't do a lot of like, I know some people send like flowers when they launch somebody's website. We don't do a lot of that kind of stuff, mm-hmm. but we do just try to have real relationship building with people, you know, sharing their content online whenever we can. Just, you know, being around in our community as much as we can and promoting their businesses and doing a good job on their project, like having quality assurance processes in place to make sure that we're, you know, meeting their needs and doing as good of a job as we can. And not mm-hmm. just like, especially with web design, you could really cut a lot of corners that customers wouldn't even know about. And we always try to make sure that we're doing things that would benefit their business, even if they didn't ask for it, or even if they don't know why SEO is important or performance is important or something like that. Mm-hmm. Doing those things and taking care of them, then they get to be more successful. And then they're just happy because their website's working well for them.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. So where do you see Busy Busy in 5 years' time?
Well, Busy Busy is in a major transition right now. So Busy Busy is our agency. We also have a company called One Day Works. And this is like an ecosystem that we're growing for freelancers and agencies where we are training people and certifying them on our one day process. So really we're transitioning, like Busy Busy will have another year of probable growth. And then we're going to try to transition a lot of our efforts into this other area where we're kind of becoming like a little bit like a Fiverr or something or Upwork, but specific to one day websites and specific to our process and our model. So oh, cool. That's where we hope to really be focusing a lot of our time in the future, is not necessarily like doing 100 projects a month, but facilitating 100 projects or, you know, 500 projects between a bunch of other certified freelancers and agencies who want to sell one day websites to their clients. And we also have a WordPress plugin in the works. Like we have a lot of stuff going on right now that's exciting kind of growth future stuff.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. I love that. So do you have any other, you know, final words of wisdom or just ideas that you would like to share with our listeners? So any agency owners who are listening?
I guess my last piece of wisdom is just to remember that there's so many of us out there that want to share knowledge and, you know, talk shop. And it's easy to kind of get, when you get busy, to stay in your silo and just do things the way you've always been doing them. And
yeah.
For me, the best relationships that I've ever had in my business are like competitors, basically people who are doing almost the exact same thing I am. And whether it's like being in a mastermind group or just being in Facebook groups or things like that online, I learned so much from other people and I love sharing that knowledge. And I think as a general rule, like digital marketers are pretty generous with knowledge sharing and are happy yeah. because there's so much work out there. I don't feel like people are as competitive as they are in like the legal field or other fields where people are a little more cutthroat.
Yeah.
So yeah, I guess it would just be that, you know, be generous with your knowledge and be open to new ideas and just mm-hmm. put yourself out there in places that are good places like this, the podcast for agency owners, because you can learn a lot from other people.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a big supporter of, you know, working with other agency owners because there's so many times, you know, you can't take a job on, but someone else can. And when you have those strategic partnerships, everybody wins. So
exactly. Yeah. I feel the same way about like some of the, we get a lot of work from other agencies and we give a lot of work away, even from people who are local, and those relationships are really, really valuable.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, we are getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but first we have the Fast Five, which are five rapid fire questions. So first question, what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
Joy Inc. by Richard Sheridan was really impactful on creating company culture.
Okay, perfect. And what does your morning routine look like?
I have a 4-year-old, so mostly my routine is getting her ready for daycare. We wake up at 6 o'clock. I make her breakfast, you know, force her to get dressed and all of those things. Mm-hmm. Then I spend about 5 minutes getting ready myself and get out the door. I'm usually at work at 8 o'clock or 8:15. Oh, I forgot. I walk my dog. That happens after she leaves, before I get to work. I usually try to round up a gratitude walk in there while I'm walking my dog. So trying to just get that in.
Yep.
And then at work by 8:15 usually.
Awesome. And is there a CEO that you follow or study?
This isn't a famous one, but a local CEO, her name is Sabrina Madison. She runs the Progress Center for Black Women. She also runs a bunch of other organizations, and she's probably the most effective leader I've ever seen. We've built some websites for her, but it's like, she has an idea, she implements it, she finds the people to help, she raises money, and just gets things done like nobody's business. I've never met anyone that's as good at business as she is, and also like serving the community and doing all these amazing causes. So I just feel like, wow, I wish I could learn more from her and like pick her brain.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Yeah, people like that are so inspiring. Yeah. And what is your favorite online tool?
It's hard to pick one, of course. I use like 1,000 different tools, but probably Zapier is the one that I'm most excited about right now. We're doing a lot of automation for our client onboarding and a lot of other processes.
Yep.
So it saves a lot of time and it's a really great value.
Yes, it's the best feeling in the world when you can save time and automate something. It's just, yes, total productivity hack.
Mm-hmm.
And last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
I guess just all of the information that's out there on the internet that I had no idea about. I mean, back in 2009, like I said, I was checking out books at the library and I learned everything the hard way. And I wish that I would have just had more access or more knowledge about everything that was happening on the interwebs. Mm-hmm. I think it could have sped up my business development, but then again, learning things the hard way sometimes is more impactful than somebody telling you what to do.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Candy. It was a pleasure to have you on the podcast, and I really enjoyed chatting with you.
Yeah, thank you so much, Julia. Have a great weekend.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.